And so, our Lord and our Father, we are grateful to you tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will minister to us. You speak to us, O God Almighty, that our lives will be transformed for better. For in Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Good evening, church. You know, this month, like the pastor said on Sunday, we'll be talking about grace for greatness. Grace for greatness. Please turn your Bible with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I'll start reading from verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy mind, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my God, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Flip over to Judges chapter 8. From verse 11 also. Chapter 8. And Gideon went up the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jobeah, and smote the host. For the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, they were kings, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up. Let's jump to verse 21. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba, those kings, and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, and thy son, and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Praise the Lord. You know, this story is quite interesting, as far as I'm concerned. It's an interesting story. In this period, the people of Israel found themselves in the wrong side of life. You know, they were a prosperous nation, but they sinned against God, and then God allowed the enemy to deal with them. So the powerful suddenly became the victim. Poverty and great challenges suddenly became their companion. Just like the situation many find themselves today. Alagbarawa diole. A nation under siege cannot enjoy a good educational system. They cannot enjoy a good health care system. Many businesses will not be able to thrive. The farmers will have to stay away from the farms, just as we have it today. As a matter of fact, what the herdsmen are doing was what the people did to them. When they have planted, when it was time for them to harvest, those things, animals, with grace, they will force them not to have harvest. So they became poor. And the enemy made sure that there was no way for them. So in this kind of situation, like many of us today will be thinking, Nigeria, Boko Haram. Some of us cannot even go to the farm. People that have farms, they've left it. And that is the source. That's the way they were, that was their thought. The thought was, through their farming, they will make money. They will make wealth. And then situation changed, a lot of pressure. Some people were working last year, after COVID, their company folded up. They can't work anymore. Challenges. So when a nation is under siege, that's why the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When a nation is under siege, you that is in that nation, you are under siege. That was the situation they found themselves in this age. And it was in this situation that there was this young man called Gideon, whose family, look at his own, his family was amongst the poorest in the nation. Amongst the poorest in the nation. He was also the most insignificant amongst in the poorest family. The most insignificant. So, when you are looking at people, it does not amount to anything. Gideon, at that point in the nation, was nobody. And many of us also will be thinking, what is the way forward? My source of livelihood is gone. My family, I want to start business, they cannot even raise 50,000 for me to start something. I am doomed. I don't have people to support me. I've moved around, I've checked my phone system, like Professor Okumadiwa told us. I checked through my phone, there are no two people that can raise 50,000. And so, pressure. And if care is not taken, depression will come in. And you see young people these days, they just take their lives. Because they have looked at everything, and there seem to be no hope. They don't know where to go anymore. That was the situation Gideon found himself. He did not have connection. He did not. Because a poor man, look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:20. It says, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor. But the rich has many friends. Is it a man that is hated by his neighbor? Because you see, when they say he's hated, they don't even want to, when he's coming to say hello, they are already thinking he wants to borrow. So they dodge you. So you don't have people that you can call. You don't have people that can support you because you are poor. That was the situation of Gideon. So, if you look at it critically, he will not really have access to as many people that could help him. Have you not observed that if you are rich and you are having a party, people will waste money? When you are not rich and you are having a party, it is busy. That is the situation. Nobody wants to befriend a poor man. So he found himself in that terrible situation. However, when you now look at that critically, I will ask, what greatness can be found in such a man? You know his situation now. What greatness can be found from such a person? It's absolutely nothing. Almost nothing. Where will he start from? Nobody to help him. Everywhere is locked. Challenges everywhere. There's no visa to travel out. They blocked everything. Business is not moving. The family cannot even raise anything. So it's choked, like many of us today. You know, when we were praying, the Reverend said we should pray that God will make way for us. He even said we should pray that we will not be sick. Because health care now, may God help us all. We will not be sick in Jesus' name. So take care of yourself. In this period that we find ourselves, could be difficult. But we will not be sick, that we need to spend money in Jesus' name. So that was the situation of Gideon. In fact, he was actually hiding from the enemy having lost his self-confidence. Many of us, we may come to church and just deceive ourselves, you know, just, what do you call it? You know, let's just, let's package. But by the time you are leaving the church and you are going home, many people cry. Because when they are even going home, they don't know what they are going to eat. Some people eat 010. Women, thank God for this church, thank God for us, thank God for favor. But that is the reality of Nigeria of today. That is where people have found themselves. And I tell you, whether you are watching me online or you are here, God is God. Don't lose hope, because there's a God who rules in the affairs of men. So, that was the situation that Mr. Gideon found himself. A very cloudy situation. A very terrible situation. A situation where he didn't know where help could come from. But God saw his potential. You've read the scripture. God saw his potential as a great man. And many great men are seated here, but they do not even believe that they are great anymore. But God sees. And I believe tonight that the great men will start to, you know, they will stir up that grace of God in their lives today in Jesus' name. Many great men have refused to activate the potentials in them. And they have failed to become what God has called them to be, or what God has created them to be. They make excuses like Gideon, talking about their backgrounds, lack of opportunities, the enemy roles in their lives, spiritual attacks. It's from my father's side, my mother's side. It is from work. It is my neighborhood. It is demon. It is my hobby. It is my wife. It is my husband. It is wishes, so it is wizard. Because, you see, when you don't know what to do anymore, you try to justify yourself and at least push it on something so that you feel good. When you don't know any, is there a tannic? Because you are frustrated. This frustration. Many people are in that situation now. Some are seated here. Some are watching me online. That was the situation of Gideon. You remember Gideon, when the Bible recorded, by the time the angel got to him, the Bible said he was pressing wine to hide. He was hiding himself. He's just hiding so that at least that one can take care of the family. Friends, the same insignificant man became someone in chapter 8 that the whole nation was now begging to be their king, begging to rule over them. They did not say rule over us, they said your generation will be our ruler. Significant man. I hope somebody will be awakened this evening. So know that your situation today does not matter as per your tomorrow. If you do not have food to eat this night, if you will trust God tonight, believe me, you, it's a matter of time, you will lend to nation. That was what happened to Gideon. Gideon, from the poorest of the poor family. One of our brothers came here to give testimony some months ago. And he said in his family, if you talk about money, the family will say, what is the meaning of that? It is not part of our family. That our family, we are not supposed to have anything. But today, to this, what God can do, there is greatness in you. And tonight, God will help us to activate that greatness that is inside of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Your position today cannot limit how far you go in life, except you choose to. Don't forget, grace for greatness is what we are discussing. What is greatness? I went into the dictionary. They said greatness is defined as being larger than ordinary size or ability, or being higher in degree or importance. It is the quality or state of being great. Quality or state of being great, as in size, skill, mind, achievement, or power. When you are great, when you are great, you are bigger. People who have greatness distinguish themselves from others. They set themselves apart and are truly eminent in their field. That is greatness. You see, when I was coming, I quickly went to check. I said, what is the difference between good and great? When you say something is good, yeah, people will like it. But one thing I saw is that if you talk about good, if you have a good product, you will have to sell it. This is good. You have to tell people. When it's a great product, they will identify you. They will look for you. So there's a difference. Good is average. It's a little bit above average. But great is quite significant. So it's a mile apart. And so this month that we are treating greatness, grace for greatness, God is about to do something new in our life. That is the meaning. And the Lord will help us, will back us up in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I read, they said, greatness doesn't happen by chance or accident. It's about making deliberate, well thought out choices to work towards something that you are good at and something that you have to do or you love to do. Now, I looked at the scripture we read, the Judges chapter 6 and all of that. And I saw some attributes of greatness in that story of Gideon. Number one, I saw vision. Now, remember I said about Gideon, there was nothing. He had lost everything. He had no self-esteem, nothing. But what did God do? The time God got to him, the first thing is Judges chapter 6 verse 14. It says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy mind, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. What God was doing with him was to give him vision, to help him understand that he has an assignment, that there's something that he can do. When you are without vision, the Bible says people perish. For a man to be great, he must be a man that will have vision. And so what is your vision? Nigeria is bad, yes. What's your vision now? What vision? What is it that you will run after? What is it that will propel you to greatness? It is born by vision. So what God did with him was first of all to help him to start to see beyond where he was. He says, look up and said, go in this your mind, and thou shalt save Israel. That was his assignment. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You see, when you have a company and they said, our vision is to be so. So everybody that comes in, they know that. So that is what propels them. So for this Mr. Gideon, what starts to propel him from that moment, although, you know, he went forth and back and was, you know, struggling with God, but what propelled him from that moment was, and have an assignment, I must deliver Israel from the Midianites. So vision is important. So when we talk about vision here, you think about what you want to create in your life, how you want to live. And I say, without clear vision of what you are going to accomplish, you won't know where to start. You will not know. Another thing I observed is that in that scripture, is that it turned disadvantage or adversity into advantage. Turning, and if you go and check, people that are great, that is what they do. They turn adversity into advantage. Judges chapter 6 verse 6 says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now in Judges 7:23, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And pursued. You know, the initial issue was that they have challenges.
It was adversity. But at some point in chapter 7, they turned it to strength. They pursued. They realized that, okay, this challenge, what do we do? Actually, what we're supposed to do in a challenging time like this is to pursue. And so they pursued. Adversity serves as a choice point for each one of us. We can choose to play into a victim mindset and give our power away, like Gideon hiding from the Midianites. Or we can use challenges as opportunities to learn, grow, and become stronger. As soon as you realize you have a choice in adversity, you also realize you are in control. But what a lot of people do is that they lose control in adversity. They don't realize that it's a potential tool for them to propel. I mean, to propel and be a better person. Number three is that it has a champion's mindset. Champion's mindset. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, what the angel told him, what God said to the man in verse, it says, "You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty man of valor." That the mindset you should have, forget about these challenges. Who you are, your mindset should be that I am a mighty man. That was what they were training him to become. He started, because you see, defeat comes from your mind. Victory comes from your mind. Remember the people that went to spy in Exodus? They went to spy. And they came and they said, "We saw giants. We saw the children of Anak." Sir? Numbers, sorry. Thank you, sir. They said, "We saw the giants." Then Caleb and Joshua said, "No, no, no. We saw these people you are saying too, but we can defeat." Those ones said, "No." So those people in their eyes were like grasshoppers. How did they see the eyes? How did they know what those people are having in their eyes? But you know, their mindset is not of people who are champion. They had that mindset of defeat. Number four that I saw. And what you see a man who will be great, attribute of greatness, is hard work. They work hard. Judges 6:11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an hook, which was an offering that pertained unto Joshua. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the bench." He was working. Hard working guy. In spite of the challenges, though, in spite of all the trouble, in the face of even that stress and fear of attack, he was still working. He was still working. Hard working man. Judges 8:11. "Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east and over, and smote the host, for the host was secured." Now, a secured host, he went to fight them. He didn't give up. Hard worker. If you are going to be great, you have to be willing to do what average people don't do. Working hard involves sacrifice, sweat, determination. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Working hard. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips tended only to penury." In every work, every labor, he said there's profit. If you want to be great, you must be hardworking. If you want to be great, you must be hardworking. Another thing that you will see there is that you build a winning team. Greatness. You build a winning team. Judges 8:4. "Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them." If you read before that one, he had more. It was God that was now saying, "Release it, oh, you know, this is much. Drop these people, drop this one." But he still had 300. So he was able to raise, through the help of God, he raised a formidable team that could win the war. When you want to go solo, you want to do it on your own, you can't attain where you can make it, but you may not know that there's still a place that you can get to.
It is when you walk and you have a team that you attain. And that is what brings about greatness. Another thing, he was not fearful. A great man, they don't give in to fear. Not fearful. Judges 7:3 says, "Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people." That was God. Now, you know, God was training him. And all those training were those things that we now use. "Proclaim to in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And they returned of the people 22,000. 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Imagine the number. They went just because they were afraid. And how can you be afraid? And you, in Nigeria today, fear cannot help. You know, a lot of us now, we are giving into fear. We don't know. You want to start a business, you are afraid. They say you should do this, you are afraid. You are afraid of people that were already there. You are afraid of losing your money. You have everything fear. If you give in to fear in a situation like this, you can't go far. Greatness will be far from you. So they don't give in to fear. Daniel 11:32. "And as such as do wickedly against the covenant shall it corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." People that know their God will be strong. Everything may not be working well in Nigeria, but I know my God. And he will never leave nor forsake me. He will make a way. Though you go in this strength of yours, in this strength and your might, God Almighty will see you through. In the name of Jesus Christ. The one I want us to really note is that to be a great man, you must live, and that was also found in our passage, a life of service. A life of service. In Judges 6:13, the concern of Gideon was the entire community. You know, God asked him, God told him, man of valor, he said, if God loved us, he didn't talk about himself, he said us. So he was concerned. While he was pressing wine, his thought was about, what's going on to my people? He's bothered about it, and God knows. That was why he went to look for him, because he knows that a man that has the interest of others will do everything to save mankind, to save his people. And that's a man that is on the journey of greatness. So, life of service. In Judges, I've read that one. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" It's all about people. And the Bible said God was pleased with what he said. And God blessed him beyond measures. Why? Because he realized that the guy was not selfish. It wasn't about him. It was about his own people. God's people. The same thing was what happened to Gideon. So, greatness in the Bible was never determined by how much money someone had or how much influence or power they claimed to have. Greatness was always given to the one who was a servant. Greatness is serving. And God is calling each and every one of us to serve. Not to be great. He didn't call, "I call you to be great." No. It is in service that he bestows, because he's the one that gives, he's the one that bestows greatness upon man. So, any greatness which serves you alone is empty. So, what grace does, what it does, it enhances your strength and plays down on your weakness. It enhances your strength. You see, when God met Gideon, say you are a strong man. Forget about your situation. You are a strong man. He started talking to his mind. You are a man of valor. So that was his strength. It started to help him to work on his strength. And then it played down. Grace also plays down on your weakness. That is grace. Another thing is that God may grace give you strength to persevere. It happened to Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. In fact, Joseph said something in verse 20 of chapter 50 in Genesis. He said, "What you meant for me, you meant evil for me." He said, "But God meant it for good." Joseph's story unfolds. It's difficult to see God's grace in it all. When the story was unfolding, you see, somebody that was supposed to be great, they turned him into a lot of challenges. But he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That is great. Grace. It was that grace. You remember when he was tempted and in Potiphar's house, and they wanted to, it was like the enemy wanted to take away his destiny. But grace kept him. That is what grace does. It helped him to persevere in the place of challenges and temptation. He persevered. And then God saw him through. Even in prison, God saw him through. That's what grace does. He said in chapter 45 verse 7, he says, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve your nation, to preserve life." Now, another thing is, grace makes room for you where it appears impossible. Joshua 6:25, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." A common harlot, as citizenship was just the grace in action. Why was she the one that they went into? Why? It's grace. I don't know about Ori of her. They looked, they went, why did they go to him? Why not another person's house? So grace gives you opportunity. I wrote it here. I said, grace gives opportunity to some, but their character will disgrace them. Grace will give you opportunity. But a lot of people, many times, their character will disgrace them. They mess up the grace. They will turn the grace to disgrace. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Grace separates you from the crowd and make you great. You remember there's someone they always talk about now, Mother Teresa. Who has heard about Mother Teresa before? It was because of good work. There was nothing spectacular about her, but up till now, they still talk about Mother Teresa. And in Luke chapter 8, you read that one also, verse 2. And then you now jump, the same person, Mary Magdalene. Just write Luke chapter 8, verse 2. The Bible said there that she was a woman that was full of evil spirit. She's been under attack. Demons. But in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18, you also read that one. But I will just read verse 16. Jesus said unto her, when Jesus Christ had died and risen, "Mary," she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say master. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." In verse 18, she now went to report that I saw Jesus. That was a woman that was full of demons before, that was delivered. Insignificant woman, so to speak, but she was the first to see Jesus. So, from the crowd, among so many, grace found her. Grace found her. Grace will find you in Jesus' name. I want you to note this. Real greatness is of the Lord. John 15 verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Say, you can do nothing. So, victory is of the Lord. The Bible says, Paul plants, Apollo waters. It is of the Lord that gives increase. Write that one down at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 to 7, when you get home. In summary, grace does not mean you will be great without challenges. That is not grace. Grace helps you to achieve your greatness, irrespective of the challenges or obstacles faced. It helps you to endure the pains and the sacrifices necessary. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." That was to Paul. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So my grace is sufficient for you. Even in your infirmity, in your challenges, grace is sufficient. So that is what grace does.
You see, Apostle Paul simplifies how great works. And I want us to read this one. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by and his grace, which was bestowed, I said it before, grace is released, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly. Note that. Remember I mentioned hard work. So I labored more abundantly. That is work harder than they all. He worked more than other people. Some people will say grace is there now. They don't want to work. Lazy people. They will be talking about grace. No, that's not how grace works. He said, I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Yet not I. But the grace of God which was with me. It is that grace that helped him to walk. It is that grace that helped him to overcome. That grace will be available for us all in Jesus' name. So, grace helps you to do what you need to do to attain greatness. Like being disciplined. You know Ronaldo, the footballer, Cristiano Ronaldo, he went to a new club. They said the other members, team members were saying, why did he come here? He's so disciplined. He was not eating some food that they were eating. They had to even look for his own food now. They said he does not drink, he doesn't drink even mineral water. A disciplined man. That is grace. But he had to walk. It helps you to avoid unnecessary indulgence. Grace is what will lead you into adequate research needed for a subject matter. For instance, it's grace. I want us to pray tonight because my time is fast spent. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8 says, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the heart are the Lord's, and he has set the word upon them. You are going to pray that God, because it's God that can make it happen. It's God that will give you the strength, even in face of those challenges and the pressure that you are going through. You are going to ask the Lord, God, give me your grace. Begin to pray now, God, give me your grace. Grace for greatness. Help me, Lord. Give me the grace. I pray for your grace. It was grace that found Gideon. It was grace that found Paul. It was that grace that we are asking for. Grace of God. Paul is aware of grace. Every time he's writing, he writes about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord be with you. The grace of the Lord be with you. Give me the grace, Lord. Even in temptation, the grace will keep you. A man that can overcome temptation is the one that will come out great. Ask for grace. Ask for grace for greatness tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, give me your grace. I pray for grace. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. Even in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trial, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of uncertainty, give me the grace to stand that I may become great. Lord, it is your grace that can teach me what to do. It is by your grace that I will know what to do. Even concerning my family, concerning my work, concerning my business, that men will say of me tomorrow that, oh, he's a great man. Give me this help, Lord. Give me the grace to live a selfless life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praying for grace, I want you to pray. You see, maybe there's somebody who is giving you pressure. And just pray that God will give you the grace not to disgrace yourself. The grace to stand. They want to push you. It could be your husband, it could be anybody. They are pushing you to misbehave. Pray that God will give you the grace not to fumble. The grace to stand. Just pray for that grace, because when you do that, you are on your journey to greatness. God will identify that and will bless you for it. Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that the word that we have had today will be useful for us. It will do us good. It will help us, Lord, even to continue with this journey of life. We pray, O God, that you have sent your word to us, that we are in the season of grace. Let your grace be available to us. Let this grace, God, lead us unto greatness. Let this grace lead us unto blessing. Let your grace lead us unto prosperity. In the name of Jesus Christ. By your grace, we declare that we are favored. We are honored. We are blessed. We will not borrow. We will not lack. We will not struggle in life. Your grace will make room for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we pray.